Good morning. For the record, the case that was about to be argued is State Ex Rel Council for Discipline versus Barfield. The Chief Justice is recused. Proceed. Thank you. Please.
May it please the court, my name is Julie Aganaw, Deputy Counsel for Discipline for the Relator. Formal charges were filed against the respondent, Jackie Barfield, in February of 2019, alleging violations of 3-501.15, which is the safekeeping property rules, and 3-508.4, misconduct. Ms. Barfield filed an answer in April of 2019, admitting to all of the allegations in the formal charges. A motion for judgment on the pleadings was filed and was granted as to the facts. So a referee was appointed and a hearing was held in June of 2018. Ms. Barfield testified at that hearing and 18 exhibits were admitted. At that hearing, Ms. Barfield admitted to withdrawing cash from her trust account on multiple occasions over a five-year period. She admitted to writing checks for personal expenses drawn on her trust account on multiple occasions over a five-year period. She admitted to using a trust account to pay for personal and business expenses multiple times over a five-year period. She admitted to having at least 23 overdrafts on her trust account since 2013. And she admitted that there was harm to her clients when she used their money for her own personal uses. The referee submitted a report and recommendation in August of 2019, and he recommended disbarment. He found that the misuse of her trust account was not isolated, and the cumulative acts occurred over approximately a five-year period. Looking at the evidence, Ms. Barfield admitted to conduct that is both considered commingling as well as misappropriation or conversion under the rules.
Were both those charged?
Under safekeeping property, yes, and the misconduct as well. Yes, they were. And when we look at cases that this court has addressed supporting the referee's recommendation, there are several that address either commingling and or the misappropriation. So I'll go through those, and I know that these were covered in the brief. But the first one was Nimmer from 2018. Mr. Nimmer had used his client trust account as a personal account for over 10 years. He deposited personal funds into his trust account and wrote checks and made payments out of that account for personal and arguably some business expenses. The court found that he had commingled his money with that of a client in such a way that the separate identity of those funds was lost and that they could be used for the attorney for his personal expenses or they could be subjected to the claims of his creditors, which arguably is the same situation that we have here with Ms. Barfield.
I will stop you real quick.
Yes.
Your recommendation here is disbarment, correct?
Yes.
And normally a situation where there's a commingling situation such as this and a prior incident, an aggravator.
Yes.
That's the usual recommendation, usually what the court does, correct?
Correct.
Can you give us the situations where the mitigators would overcome that and then apply that to our situation here?
Well, there is one case that I believe the referee referred to it in his brief, the Gleason case from 1995. In that situation, the individual had trust account violations. He was taking funds out of his trust account. He was using them for his own use. But he had, it was limited incidences, and they found that it was more negligence that had led to that misappropriation in that case. And so he was only suspended. Whereas applying to this case, I don't have any mitigating factors to provide to you other than that Ms. Barfield was extremely cooperative and very pleasant throughout the entire proceeding. During the pre-hearing conference and then prior to the hearing itself, an order was issued regarding discovery. Respondent's counsel missed all of the discovery deadlines. I filed an objection to any witnesses or exhibits to be presented by the respondent, and that was granted. So Ms. Barfield presented no mitigation at the hearing. Besides her testimony, that's correct. And her testimony was that she admitted everything, which I will give her credit for. I do think that's mitigation. She also admitted that she had had some financial issues. She admitted to having some health issues. And she admitted to all of the violations.
How about her testimony that would refer to her continued commitment to the legal profession and the community?
Well, I think that's part. I mean, I think that's a consideration. I would hope that every attorney in their disciplinary hearing is committed to the legal community. But is that enough to overcome the violations? I don't believe so. And I would submit today that it isn't, and I would ask the court for disbarment.
What kind of detail was provided regarding that issue in her testimony?
Well, Ms. Barfield testified to helping a great deal of low-income defendants in different matters. She's very active in the African-American community in Omaha. She's helped a lot of individuals for little or no pay, and she's committed to that, which I think is probably, unfortunately, what led, her kindness led to some of the violations. Not a lot of money was coming in and more was going out, which led to the overdrafts.
Was her testimony general statements or did it give specific instances?
Excuse me, could you repeat?
Was her testimony general statements that she did this, or did she give specific instances of what she did?
Instances of helping the community?
Yeah.
I think she more generally spoke about the nature and the breadth of it. I don't doubt that she has served her community extensively and provided legal services to those who couldn't afford it. But is it enough to overcome? I guess that's a question for the court today. The referee found, after hearing all of the testimony and looking at all of the evidence, that it wasn't enough to overcome the recommendation of disbarment. When looking at other cases that this court has looked at, when we look at the misappropriation, Veith was a case that actually he was disbarred for both the commingling and the misappropriation and conversion of the client funds. He had transferred money from his trust account to his business account to overcome shortages there, and then borrowed money to transfer money back into his trust account to cover shortages there. The court found that the mere fact that his trust account balance fell below the amount deposited in that was held in trust was misappropriation. And you found that the lack of harm to clients in that case, because he covered the amount, was irrelevant to the discussion, and so he was disbarred. Gridley was another individual back in, 1996, who voluntarily surrendered his license, but the court found that he also misappropriated client funds. He admitted that he deposited client funds in his operating account before he earned them. He had deficits in his trust account, and he used money from his trust account to pay wages, which Ms. Barfield did testify that some of the evidence will show that many of the checks that were written were to family members who did work on her behalf. So I would argue that those would be similar, that she paid wages out of her trust account. But in Gridley, the court said that absent mitigating circumstances, the appropriate discipline in cases of misappropriation or commingling of funds is disbarment. Though other aggravating factors that Justice Frydenberg referred to is that there was a prior private reprimand that Ms. Barfield received in 2000, and that was for failing to properly maintain third-party funds in her trust account, and she failed to preserve the identity of those funds in the property of her clients. So in totality, with the minimum of mitigating factors other than, you know, her cooperative nature, and she admitted to all of the misconduct. She didn't hide anything. She didn't make excuses. She admitted everything, and I would say that that should go towards mitigation. But the aggravating factors, I think, are hard to overcome, that she has a prior private reprimand for similar issues with her trust account and the cumulative nature of multiple violations over a five-year period where she misappropriated funds. She had at least 23 overdrafts that we could find, and she commingled her funds to the point where she...
What was the testimony with respect to medical issues, if any?
Not a great detail. She testified that she had some medical issues, and I believe in one of the responses from her counsel that she had some medical issues throughout the years. I know that she had part of her medical issues took her to Houston. She has family there, and she recuperated for a time in Houston, which did help, and she was back and forth between Houston and Nebraska handling cases. Her intent had initially been to close down her Nebraska practice, move to Houston for health issues and I think for family, and that just has not occurred yet.
Excuse me. I was just going to ask if there are specifics in terms of mental health and things of that nature.
I don't think any mental health issues were raised. I don't think that the referee noted any in his report, and Ms. Barfield didn't raise any at the hearing as well. I think that they are physical health issues, and her counsel may be able to give more detail on that, but I know that she referenced them, and she had gone to Houston specifically to be with family to recuperate. I think the warmth and so forth was, I think she stated that on the record, was helpful.
Sorry, I interrupted you.
My question was whether she is also licensed in Texas and whether there are proceedings there.
I don't believe she is licensed in Texas, so there are not proceedings to my knowledge. If so, they weren't revealed at the hearing. If nothing further, I would ask the court to accept the recommendation of the referee who saw and heard the witness testify in order that the respondent be disbarred. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Crampton.
I'm in charge.
Morning again.
Morning again. Got to find a place for this.
Okay.
Excuse me for sitting strangely, but the sun was in my eye.
Are you good there?
I think so.
Thank you.
I'm sorry. May it please the court, I'm James Crampton. I'm here representing Jackie Barfield. As you heard the argument from counsel for discipline, and what we're here looking for is mercy. Ms. Barfield has financial issues, and that's what has caused it to be here today. There's typically an attorney will have a trust account, and then they'll have their office account, and sometimes they'll have a personal account and other numerous bank accounts. And what happened with Ms. Barfield is that she didn't start from millions of dollars or even hundreds of dollars. She started with nothing. And she had financial problems. As a result of that, she ended up with just the one account, just the trust account. She didn't have another account, and then she used it wrong. She admitted it, and as counsel for discipline points out, through this whole procedure, she has been totally honest, totally cooperative. She's shown respect for the system. She's admitted that she knew what she was doing was wrong and that she just didn't have any other way to figure out how to do it from moment to moment. And other pressures got to her, and she did things she shouldn't have done. And that's the difference between the Nimmer case and the Barfield case, is that Nimmer played games with the system. He tried to excuse his actions. He tried to do other things, and Barfield didn't. She came to the counsel for discipline, and in the very early situation, all having been advised of what was there, provided information that gave the counsel for discipline everything that they needed to prove their case. She provided all of her bank records, and she gave a statement that told them that, yes, I did this.
How did this matter come about? Did she self-report,
It came about because eventually the bank did report her on issues that weren't even on the overdrafts. And as counsel for discipline pointed out, she admitted to 23 overdrafts over a period of about 10 years. And if this case, counsel for discipline and I were talking about this earlier before the argument started, but if the bank would have followed the rules, if this would have worked the way it's supposed to, the first time there would have been an overdraft 10 years ago, Ms. Barfield would have been busted right off the bat. She would have acted just like she did with this one. She'd have been honest. She'd have said, here's my problem. She'd have gotten the appropriate help. I suspect she would have been suspended for a period of time. I don't know exactly. It's hard to predict what would have been the result of that. But it would have been dealing with a single instance and trying to correct the problem. But because the bank didn't report, and for whatever reason that may be, I don't know. And
that's not supposed to be how it works, that the bank does not report.
No, the bank is supposed to report. Right.
She knew she had an overdraft.
She knew.
She could have self-reported.
She absolutely
10 years
could
ago
have.
And reached out for that help.
That's correct. And is it embarrassment? Is it shame? Is it, I don't know. We can't go back. I can't, my time machine is in the shop. I just can't get it out. It's right there next to my crystal ball. But
was there testimony about mental health issues?
Her medical problems are not mental health. I mean, she's undergoing a lot of stress with result of this, but and I don't know that I'd call shame and embarrassment a mental health issue. It obviously has an effect on your behavior, but and maybe something that's a difference in degree can ultimately become a difference in kind. But it's not a health issue that set this up. It's a financial issue. She didn't have money.
What do you see as her greatest mitigator?
The level of cooperation and admission and honesty.
Did she change her, is there evidence in our record of how she changed her practices with respect to the client trust account?
I don't know that it's in the record, but in fact, unless it's in there simply based on her, I think on cross-examination, and I don't actually remember it, but I think I asked her about whether or not she had changed all her procedures, and she said she had, and I don't know how much she described of it in the record, but had she not, I can assure you counsel for discipline would have been doing something where we wouldn't have gotten to a point where she has an active license right now before the court. And we're not asking that she not be punished. And I understand that, you know, the court has to, in addition to dealing with Ms. Barfield, the court has to pay attention to what will some other lawyer out there who's thinking or playing games with their trust account, what do they think? How is that going to affect everybody else and the profession, the public paying attention to the profession? And I understand that. And I think that because of that, there has to be some sort of discipline that has to be imposed. And that can be in a lot of forms. But I think that to go all the way to disbarment is just, under the circumstances of this case, it's too far. In terms of her prior issue, and while it does have to do, and it's stated as a trust account, if you look at the record on the prior reprimand case, it was a case where she didn't pay a lien that was on a personal injury file, and there was confusion about what was owed, and then she did pay it. And I think that there's suggestions in there that she ended up paying that lien out of her own funds as opposed to the client's funds, where they would have gone because the creditor was complaining. And so Ms. Barfield eventually fixed the problem, but it wasn't at that time. The suggestion from the record is not that she was commingling and using funds. It had to do with confusion about the issue with a creditor, a medical provider in a personal injury case, and a lien. And I want to point out, I mean, both the Nimmer case and the Veith case were mentioned. And Veith, while there's some similarities, Veith was dealing with really big numbers, and numbers that I remember reading the opinions at the time when it came out that indicated, I mean, there were the monthly budget that he was dealing with was taken, there was, it was big numbers. And he was dealing with not just, Jackie is a solo practitioner who's basically, and the evidence shows that she's working out of her daughter's home and, you know, dealing with her clients using a cell phone account, as opposed to Veith, who was managing a whole law firm. And the Veith, and then borrowing money in big amounts to be able to cover things, using his trust account as sort of a temporary fund until he borrowed money to replenish an office account. But that's, Jackie's thing is completely different than that, because she's dealing with her own funds and doesn't have a checking account that she can use to pay for other types of expenses. Again, it's a difference in degree, because we're talking about much smaller numbers. But generally, when you're looking at disbarment cases like this, you can look at the behavior of the attorney and you feel like there's some moral corruption that's involved. And there's
so what should the sanction be?
Well, originally what I, well, it's a suspension, I think, and it would have to be, now, if it was a suspension for a year with a probation involved with it, where somebody else, another attorney or somebody that can assist her and pay attention to her trust account for some period of time. I think I've heard of cases where there's been suspensions, and then when somebody comes back, they open a trust account. A suspension for over 30 days requires closing your trust account, and then when an account gets reopened, that it's subject to supervision by somebody else, who then can report back to the Council for Discipline over a period of time until people can be, you know, pretty certain that they're not screwing it up anymore. But the main reason that I'm asking for mercy for Jackie Barfield is because I don't think I see that moral corruption. Bouncing checks, there's some degree of moral problem with that, but it's not to the degree that it is with so many other cases. There's nobody came to Council for Discipline saying, this lady stole my money. That didn't happen. The overdrafts we're dealing with weren't $1,000 overdrafts. They were $100 overdrafts. It was all stuff that had it been correctly brought to the attention of Council for Discipline a long time ago, she wouldn't be in the trouble she's in today. At any rate, I'm asking the court to consider a sanction that would be less than disbarment, and asking for mercy. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Any other questions? Thank you very much. You're excused. That concludes the arguments for today. Thank you.